Well, as you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, let me ask you a question. Are you exercising the spiritual gift that God has given to you, or is your spiritual gift sort of laying dormant and you're just sort of biding your time in this one God-given life that God has given you? Now, you may say, Pastor, I do not have a gift, and the truth about it is you may not be aware of your gift. But the God who created you has said, yes, you do. You have a spiritual gift that he has given to you because he said that in his word in the book of Romans. And for these Sunday mornings, we have been going through the spiritual gifts. And this morning, we're going to examine another spiritual gift, the gift of mercy. Now, whenever you think about spiritual gifts, sometimes we think about, well, somebody is trained and they're educated and they've learned that through a lot of schooling and all of that. That is not the case at all with a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a divine endowment to every one of God's children that have been saved by his grace. So what that means is this. If you're a child, if you're 10, 11, 12 years old, God has given to you a gift, though you may not know what it is yet. God has given to you a gift. Now, my brother said to me some years ago, he said, Benny, I knew that God gave you the gift of exhortation. He said, don't you remember back in Middlesbrough when we would get out of church that you'd go preach on those tombstones and you'd preach to the cemetery? And he said, you couldn't have been over 3 years old. And I didn't really remember that, but he said, I can remember watching you do that because God had placed in my heart that yearning and that desire, though I didn't know what it would do, how it would work out. I didn't know all the terms, but God had given to me, even at that point in time, he was preparing my life because he knew that I would respond to him and he would convict me of my sins. And so the reality of it is you have been given a spiritual gift by God. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your age. You may say, well, I'm just a young Christian. I'm just 15, 16, 17. Or you may say, I'm a little older. But the truth of Scripture is that God has given to you a spiritual gift. And your spiritual gift is one in which you will find great satisfaction as you exercise your spiritual giftedness. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12, we're going to look this morning at the gift of mercy. If you listen carefully, in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, listen to what Scripture says. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And in that one passage of Scripture, God just simply makes it clear through the Apostle Paul that there are different gifts. And in that one last one that we're going to look at this morning is the spiritual gift of mercy. And just some other passages, you don't have to turn there, but I want you to just listen to these passages of Scripture if you want to jot them down. Psalms 86, 5, listen to what it says about the Lord. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And then in Psalms 89, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And then in the passage of Scripture that you and I looked at this morning in our verse to remember, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now the word mercy is found 265 times throughout the Bible. But what is a person who has the gift of mercy? Now, I want you to listen very carefully because some of you, when you realize that this is your gift, you will understand why you are the way you are, why you behave the way you behave, why you do what you do, and all of a sudden it will come home to you this morning, that's why I am the way I am. Because the truth about it is, you know, a lot of times we men want to back away from mercy because, you know, there's a lot of people who will just want to be macho. But when you look in Scripture, God makes it a big deal about being a person of mercy. For example, when you look in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. And he's speaking about John. You know, probably there's nobody better in the Bible that exhibits the gift of mercy than the Apostle John. Here is John who is there beside the cross. And as he watches Jesus being crucified and dying on the cross, he listens to Jesus' words and he knows that there's nothing he can do, but all the other disciples had gone. They had left. He was the only one standing there because he wanted to be as close to his Lord as he could. He knew he couldn't be where Jesus was, but he wanted to be as close as he could. Now, listen to me real carefully, and I say this to men. You don't think that mercy is a big deal. Only John the Apostle was given the privilege to pen the revelation. Why? I really believe in part it's because that in the last moments when everybody went away and the other disciples fled, he was there because he wanted to be as merciful as he could. He wanted to do everything he could. And he took Jesus' mother and he took her into his home and there she would stay for the rest of her life. It is a big deal to the God of the universe that you and I exhibit mercy. Now, every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, we are to exhibit mercy. If you are a child of God, one of the realities is God hasn't saved you to be hard, hateful, discouraging, and yet the sad part about it is there's some people, unless they go to church on Sunday morning, you wouldn't know they had much of a religion or a relationship with the Lord. Well, they may have a religion, they may not have a relationship with the Lord. But the issue is every one of us are called to have mercy on other individuals. We're called to be merciful. And so, but what is mercy? I just want to give you a working definition as we get into this message this morning. That special ability from God to show exceptional kindness, compassion, and pity on another person despite his or her past. In other words, some of you have the gift of mercy, and you'll understand it as you get into this message. Well, I want you to follow along in your outline because we're going to look at some characteristics, and I'm going to have to go rather fast because I want to try to get all of them in. And if I took 5 minutes on each one, that'd be 45 minutes, so I'm not going to have a whole lot of time. But I want you to follow along in your outline because first and foremost, a person with the gift of mercy has that ability in his or her spirit to sense an atmosphere of stress. If you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and God has given to you a spirit, a gift of mercy, here's one of the things that he is going to give you that he has given you, and you say, I figured that out now. Because the reality is a person with this spiritual gift, here's what they do. They pick up when there's stress on somebody else's life. They pick up when there's stress, maybe somebody they're working with, and they just don't go out and say, well, you know what, I'm having trouble in my home. But they pick up on things. And they may put their hand on somebody else and say, now, what's really bothering you? Because you know all they want to do? They are out to be helpful. They're out to be beneficial. They're out to do everything they can. And in the life of Jesus, John simply stood by the cross and he knew there was nothing else he could do, but here's what he could do. He could be there. He could be there and he could be there with his Lord as Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. And that's exactly what a person with a gift of mercy has in his or her heart. And there are some people who have the gift. Now, a person who has the gift of exhortation and doesn't have the gift of mercy, there's a difference. You know, a person who has the gift of prophecy, they're message-oriented. But that person who has the gift of mercy, they are compassion-oriented. In other words, their big concern is to show compassion. And you see, a person with the gift of mercy, they may even be misunderstood because here's the reality. They're out to help. They're out to help other individuals, and they may sound nosy from time to time, but that's not their desire. They just want to be a blessing. And what they can do, they can feel stress. A woman in the home who has the gift of mercy, who has a daughter or son, she can feel stress in their lives. And yes, she's viewed as mother, but one of her natures and dispositions is she had the gift of mercy is to say, what's bothering you? What's going on? What's the situation? And it's not just being mother. Now, listen to me real carefully. It's not just being mother, but there are those women that God has given the gift of mercy to, and they go beyond because that is their spiritual gift. I believe that was one of the gifts that my mother had when I was just a boy. There was a little boy that would go up and down the street. He almost was homeless. He didn't really have much of a place to stay. And every time he'd go up and down the road, she'd say, I'd adopt him if I could. And different times she'd take him in and she'd feed him and do this or do that. And I thought, Mom, what's going on here? But here's the reality. She looked at him. She realized he didn't have anybody. She knew that he didn't have anybody to care for him and anybody to be concerned. And finally, he was adopted by somebody. And my mother was tickled to death the day that Timmy was adopted. But that person is only out to help. Second of all, a person with a gift of mercy, they're attracted to people who are having difficulty. Now, sometimes you're here and say, well, you know what? I don't want to hang around anybody like that. That person just puts me down. Let me ask you a question. How can those people who are having down times and difficult times ever be helped if somebody don't get beside their life? Well, and that's exactly what God does. There are some of you here and you say, you know what? I love to be around people who are having a down time, a difficult time, a hard time. That's just a part of my nature, my disposition. And part of that is simply this. God has gifted you with that yearning and that desire. Somebody else could be in your same shoes. I say, you know what? I couldn't stand to do what you're doing or be in your situation. But that's not the case with a person who has the gift of mercy. A person with that gift of mercy, here's what they do. They look on the inside and maybe it's some woman doesn't have anybody to talk to her. You know what? They'll go in, maybe if it's a hospital or nursing home or someplace else, they'll just go in and spend extra time. Why? Because they know that she's very alone. And they're just very desirous to get beside them. You say, you know, I don't understand that as a spiritual gift. Well, the Bible says it is. Because that's that yearning to show compassion. It's that yearning to get beside somebody else who's having a difficult time. And that's the way some of you are. God has given to some of you the spiritual gift to get beside somebody who's having a real hard time. And you say, you know what? I don't know why I like to do it, but I just like to do it. Because God has given you the gift of mercy. You don't have all the answers for their problems, but God don't want you to have all the answers. He just wants them to have somebody who's beside them and who loves them and who cares for them. That's the simple way God is. And you see, a person who has the gift of mercy, you know, not only that, third, they desire to remove the hurts of others. Now, listen to me real carefully. There is a problem with a person who has the gift of mercy if they're not careful. A person who has the gift of mercy, they look at somebody that's having problems and difficulties and maybe they need money, and they'll say to somebody, you know, we just need to give them money. But this person over here who has the gift of exhortation said, no, they need to learn how to handle their money. And you see, the reality of it is, a person with a gift of mercy, they can't stand to see somebody hurt. As a matter of fact, they may get very offended at other church family. Now listen very carefully. Listen carefully. They may get offended at others in the church family who said, well, you know what? You know, and they say, well, this person's in need, and they feel like nobody's doing about it. They may get very hurt. Why? Because they see a person in need. They see a person that needs help. And that's what a person who has mercy, they're all about compassion. They're not about red tape. They're not about bureaucracy. They're about people. They're about helping people and ministering to people and being a blessing to people. And, you know, when the person with the gift of mercy sees the pain, here's what they say. Remove the pain. Now, listen very carefully. I say this to those of you who have been given this gift. Sometimes I've watched people who have the gift of mercy say, remove the person who has that has pain, but they don't think about growing through the pain. And the person who has the gift of exhortation says to the person who has the gift of mercy, let him grow through the pain. And the person with mercy says, no, let's remove the pain. And they may have very conflicting views. Why? Simply because we're differently gifted. Every one of you don't have the same gift. But here's what God the Father has said. You do have a spiritual gift. Every one of you. Now, you have been told to exercise your gift. If you don't do it, God won't make you. Nobody will make you, but you'll stand accountable. And the thing about it is you'll stand unblessed. There's so many believers that are unblessed because they won't exercise their spiritual gift, and they say, prayer don't work for me anymore, Bible reading don't work for me anymore, going to church don't work for me anymore. And I'll tell you why. Because you're not exercising what God has given to you to use in this one God-given life. And so that person who has the gift of mercy, here's what they do. They want to remove the hurts. And a lot of times this, the gift of mercy, I see it in both men and women, but a lot of times it is to women. And they say, you know what? We just need to pay her bills. We just need to pay his bills. But the person who has the gift of exhortation says, what are they doing with their money? Well, I don't know, but they're in need. Well, that's why we need one another. You see, let me give you an illustration. I come to a railroad crossing, and my eyes say nothing's coming. But all of a sudden, I hear a whistle blowing. My eyes say I've got no problem. But my body senses some vibration, but my eyes still tell me nothing's coming. And all of a sudden down the road is a train. What would I do if I didn't use my eyes and also use my ears collectively? We need one another. Listen carefully. But a lot of times, here's what's happening in churches. People are going shotgun style. In other words, Lone Ranger. Well, you know what? I'm a part of the body, but I don't really need. Yes, you do. Every one of us need everyone else in the body of Christ. That's what Jesus says. Amen? You need one another. I need you. You need me. And that's exactly what God says. So, you know, a person who has the gift of mercy, here's what they want to do. They want to remove the hurts of others. But that's not always the best. And that's why, and I think about my precious mother-in-law who's with the Lord, she'd want to do anything in the world she could to remove the hurts from somebody else. And she'd do that, but I'd ask her sometimes, I said, don't you think they need to go through that? Yeah, but we need to help them. And, of course, she was a senior to me, and I wouldn't, but she knew somebody, you know, they needed help. Well, number four, a person with the gift of mercy has a greater concern for the mental distress of others than physical. Now listen carefully. There are those times in your life, you look at somebody and I've had this to happen. And by the way, you don't just happen to have just one gift. There can be a connection of gifts. In other words, one person has a gift and there's a combination. But here's the reality. You have a spiritual gift. When you use that spiritual gift, you are blessed. Others are bettered because of your life. And that person who has the gift of mercy, they don't just look at the outside. They look at the inner torment that's going on somebody else's life, and that's exactly what they're concerned about. They're concerned about the mental stress. That's why a person with the gift of mercy, and you may wonder why you do this. You may wonder, I just like to ask people, what's going on? How are you really doing? You see, a person with the gift of mercy, they don't just say, how you doing? They'll say, how are you really doing? And you see, when you ask it that way, maybe you're shaking hands with somebody and all of a sudden they just break down. You know why? Because they know you're really listening. They know that you really want to know and you're there to help. And maybe a person with the gift of mercy, they'll just say, let's step over here and talk about this. And you see, here's the reality. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know what to say. Listen very carefully. I've had the privilege of talking to a lot of people in my lifetime, counseling a lot of people. And you know the one thing that everybody wants? They just want a loving ear and a heart that will pray for them. That's one of the biggest things. Because I have to tell you, there's a lot of things you can't figure out, and I can't figure out. And so, you know, a person with the gift of mercy, that they're concerned about, you know, about the mental stress. That's why sometimes you say, I don't understand why my daughter's getting involved with this type of person. You know, they're having some emotional trouble. Why are they getting involved? Has it ever dawned on you that they're getting involved because somebody is having some emotional trouble? Because somebody, and that's the gift that they're there to use. You see, our concept is oftentimes distorted about church. Listen, a lot of times our ideas, okay, we come to church, We sit and listen to the preaching. I go about my life, and then I come next. Let me ask you a question. How can you be a difference in anybody's life if you're not there to be a blessing to them? How can that person with the gift of mercy ever make a difference unless he carries it into the workplace or carries it, you know, into the home? And that's exactly what God has called you to be. You're to be merciful, showing that compassion in every venue. And first of all, it's home. But that person who has the gift of mercy, not only that, but five, they are sensitive to the words and actions that cause hurt to other people. If you have the gift of mercy, now let me say this. I want to say this to every one of us. It doesn't matter if you have this gift or not. Some people, I've noticed some people throughout life, well, you know what? People just have to take me for what I say, and I'm not going to change the way I am, and that's just the way I am. If they don't like it, they don't have to listen to me. Can I say that is the most ungodly statement that people ever say? And a lot of times, it's born-again believers that make such a wicked statement. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he give you a command to guard your mouth? Amen? It's pretty weak. And sometimes it's weak because we don't really want, you know, because we want to say what we think. Listen very carefully. There's going to be a time in every one of our lives that there is an account. And that person with the gift of mercy, you know what they're conscious of? Words matter. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could show you. I wish you could see the kids that have been destroyed by parents' words. I wish you could have been there when a 40-year-old man bowed his head and literally wept his heart out in my office because the power of his dad's words. I wish you could have been there when that 60, 70-year-old man absolutely cried his heart out because of what his dad did to him 62 years ago. Because there's power in your words. And here's one of the most wicked things that you'll hear somebody say, and it is wicked. Well, people just have to learn to take me for what they just have to learn to deal with it. Might I say to you this? Are you going to say that when you stand before Jesus in the judgment? Are you going to honestly stand there and say to Jesus, well, they should have understood that's the way I am. That's the way you've chosen to be. You have chosen to be a certain way, and you either choose to come under the Lordship of Christ or you've chosen not to. But the Bible makes it very clear. That person who has the gift of mercy, they're very conscious with their mouth. You know why? Because our Father in heaven has said, every one of us will give account of every idle, finish it, word. And you know what happens? That mom that has the gift of mercy, maybe husband says, why don't you just tell the kids this and that and the other? Maybe that mom says, or maybe even that dad says, you don't realize how powerful that will hurt them. I have a dear friend of mine, and he said, I still can remember when my dad accused me of smoking, and he said, I did no such thing. That event happened 60 years ago. Now listen to me real carefully. Every one of us are to guard our tongue. That's the command from our Father. But here's what that person who has the gift of mercy. Maybe husband says, why don't you just tell them what, you know, give them what for? Mom says, or maybe the husband says, not going to do it. Because my words mean a lot to my son or my daughter. I can promise every one of you this. I can say this to myself. Your children will remember your words 50 years after you're dead. They'll remember your words. They'll never forget your words. They'll never forget what you said, how you said, the way you said. In sensitivity or in insensitivity. I have a precious friend who told me, Benny, in all my years of life, I've never heard my mother say, I love you. And I thought, how powerful a rejection. And that individual has had trouble all their life, and they're getting close to the end of life. You see, our words are powerful. And that's what a person with mercy is all about. They're not going to spout off. They're not going to just say any old thing that comes to their mouth. You know why? Because every one of us have been created by the Lord God. His divine fingerprint is upon every one of us. And Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto... Imagine bawling Jesus out. Imagine giving Jesus what for. Imagine letting Jesus have it. You say, I wouldn't do that. When you do that to the least of these, that's exactly what you've done. And that's exactly why some kids don't even care. And it may be you. Maybe they don't even care if they ever know you anymore. I never will forget talking to someone some years ago. And I said, didn't this person teach in church? And that individual said, yes, they did. And they didn't really want to talk about that lady, because she made life hard on all the kids in that church. You see, it's a big deal. It's a big deal how we say what we say. It's a big deal how we talk. And you see, that person who has the gift of mercy, they're very concerned about what words they say. They're very careful. And I have seen some mothers and fathers say some things and then sort of giggle at, my son will get over it. And I wish I could honestly tell them, they will never get over it. I have yet to see an old man who's had a rejecting dad ever get over it, or had a rejecting mom ever get over it. Well, number six, a person with the gift of mercy, they may react when somebody's being rejected, and they may react harshly. You know, you remember throughout Scripture, Jesus would be pretty harsh on the Pharisees because they would treat, you know, poor people or people who are having real difficult times. They'd make life hard on them. And that's exactly what may happen to a person who has a gift of mercy. So, and you see, here's what happens. Well, you know, we don't need to bother with that person. Yeah, do you know where they've lived? And they may really get hot over it. You know why? Because that's where they're gifted. That's where that person who has the gift of mercy, they're gifted in. And you see, because of the nature of a person who has the gift of mercy, they can't stand to see people hurt. That's why when they see somebody belittling somebody else, listen, they absolutely get beside themselves, and that may be you. You may absolutely get livid when you hear somebody else saying, well, you know, we just need to overlook that person, ignore that person. You know what? The person with the gift of mercy, what if that was you? What if that was, how would you respond? And they take it very seriously. You know why? Because God has put them there to intervene for others, maybe who can't speak for themselves. And if you have the gift of mercy, you understand. You understand. You like to get in there and you like to help the helpless. You like to help those in need. And maybe you're over here and you say, well, I like to help, but I just don't really see. Now, I'm not saying blame yourself, but here's the reality. A person who has the gift of mercy, they're going to dive in and they're going to help. They're going to be a blessing. Why? Because that is the way holy God has gifted them. And don't ever belittle their giftedness. And so that's what you and I have to be careful about. You know, we look at somebody and we say, well, that's their disposition is just different. Listen, I'm not talking about disposition. You know, every one of us have dispositions. My disposition is I don't care for greens. You know, there's a lot of things I don't care for. You know, when I was a kid, Dad would have me go pick poke salad, and Mom would fix poke salad. I didn't care for poke salad. That's my disposition. There's a lot of things. My disposition is I like baseball. I like basketball. I like football. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you're divinely gifted, because everyone saved by the grace of God has been divinely gifted, and that's you if you're saved. If you say, I don't believe it, that doesn't matter. You're still gifted. If you don't use it, that doesn't matter. You're still gifted. But that person with a gift of mercy, and I look at some people over my years and my ministry, and I think, that's why they do what they do. They go overboard. They'll get involved in people's lives. And by the way, you can get almost too involved sometimes in a person's life and not be objective. But that's because they love. That's because that's their giftedness. And that person who has the gift of mercy, number seven, they need a sense of sincere love. And a person with the gift of mercy needs to sense love and has a vulnerability when there is lack of love. You know what happens? A person who has the gift of mercy, they walk into a church and they can tell just like that if that church is a loving church. I've had people who've said to me, you know, I enjoy that church or this or that. And then I've had others who say, you know what? I could tell the moment I came in that was a loving church. You know why? Because there's a degree of sensitivity in every one of us. Some of you are more sensitive than others. Some of you are not as sensitive. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in that either way. But the person who has the gift of mercy, they're extremely sensitive. And they're sensitive when they don't get love. That's why in a marriage, if there is a, let's suppose there's a man who has the gift of mercy and his wife sort of ignores him and don't pay, listen, he takes it serious, far more serious than somebody else. Because that absolutely hurts his spirit, hurts his being. And you see, you know, somebody else may take something less seriously, maybe joking. But that person who has that gift of mercy, they might take it more to heart. And you see, that's just the way God has gifted us. Some of you are gifted that way. And as you serve in the church, work in the church, some of you say, you know what, I just love working around these kids. And I've heard some of you say, I guess I'd love to, but I don't know if I could ever do it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But here's the reality. Be very sensitive about talking about somebody else who has the gift of mercy. And you see, because that's where they're gifted. And then, number eight, a person who has that gift of mercy, they may not even want to be firm. Now, I guess if there's anybody I can think about who had the gift of mercy, it was my mother-in-law and probably my mother too. But definitely my mother-in-law. And unfortunately, my mother would discipline me from time to time. She would let me have it when I needed it. But my mother-in-law, and I've watched her, and as Stephanie would grow up, Stephanie said even herself, she said, Mamma says a lot, but she don't do anything. When she was just a little bitty thing, she said that. But here's what her mamma was all about, being merciful. Now that kid needs that. You need to get that for her. That kid needs this. And I'd be sitting there saying, no. Now you need to get that for her. Now that child needs that. And she'd say to her husband, she'd say, now Leonard, you take her down the store and you get her something. And he may be watching a ball game, or he may be doing something else. What he'd have to do? He'd get up and he'd take her down. Of course, he wouldn't mind that either. Why? Because a mercy is all about people. Now, all of us are to be about people, but that person who has the gift of mercy, they bring us back to that conscious awareness that all is vain unless it's done for the glory of God, unless it's done to help people. After all, houses live for eternity, right? Wrong. Land lives for all of eternity. You and I live for eternity. And you see, that person who has the gift of mercy, they're out to be a blessing, they're out to help. And they may not want to be very firm. They may not want to, and then lastly, they'll just simply close down when they sense insincerity. I guess if there was anyone who is the ultimate when it comes to mercy is Jesus. You know, wherever he went, you listen to who he was involved with. Involved with the woman caught in adultery in the very act. Everybody else could care less for her, but Jesus saw a woman who needed him. Or you think about Zacchaeus, little short fella who climbed a sycamore fig tree just so he could see Jesus. And Jesus didn't say anything to anybody else in the crowd. He looked up at the sycamore tree and he said, Zacchaeus, today I'm going to stay at your house. Jesus was always conscious of those around him. And you think about it, is a person who has the gift of mercy, they're conscious about people who are around them, and they may shut down and somebody's insincere. It goes sort of like this. Let me give you an example. Maybe there's something coming up, some special occasion. Person who has the gift of ministry or mercy, they're overseeing. Maybe it's a special event in the church. And other people say, I'll help. But that's in lip service only. You know what a person with the gift of mercy does? If they are not willing to help, he says, you wasn't sincere. They may completely shut down. Why? Because they're very conscious. Because they know their giftedness is to be a blessing to people. Now, in this gift, God has given you, to some of you, this gift. Some of you, as you live in your home, as you work, as you relate to other people, maybe you see now for the first time or the first time in a long time, said, you know, I realize that's why I am. I just love for certain people to come in my store. I love to see certain people because I just want to talk to them and help them. That's not passing the time of day, friend. Because God uses you in the workplace. God uses you in the marketplace. God uses you in the grocery store. God uses you every place. Because you don't know how you can be a blessing to that person when you just take time. And that's what a person about mercy is. They don't just say, hi, how you doing, and they're on. Here's what they know. You're hurting. I'm there to help you. And I'm going to help you. By the hand of God, I'm going to help you. Truth about it is, all of us are to help. Your gift may be in another area, but you're called to show mercy, every one of us. But if your gift is in mercy, how are you demonstrating that? Now, I want to give a caution. I want to give a caution, first of all, to you that are not using your gift. I want to give you a serious caution. God never speaks lightly and never not holds you accountable. There is going to be a day you're going to die. The Bible says in Hebrews, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You're going to be judged how you used your giftedness. You're going to be judged if you even used your giftedness. And I know some people who are never available for anything. I don't say that to hurt you. I'm just stating a fact over my years as pastor. They're never available to do much of anything except to be there on Sunday morning. And some have done their physical best, and that's all they can do, and some other things. But there are still some others who said, you know what? I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to use my gift. But let me ask you a question. What would you have done this morning if teachers hadn't shown up to use their gift to teach? What would you have done if somebody with a gift of compassion hadn't put their arm around you at a certain time of your distress and been a blessing to you? What would you have done when others didn't come around? And you see, the truth about it is, we want sometimes just to sort of say, it's not that big a deal. If you don't use your giftedness, that's up to you. But here's the reality. It's a huge deal before the God who brought you into this world, saved you by His Son's blood, placed in you a divine gift, and you sat and did nothing. How can you escape the judgment of a God who calls every one of us to use our gift? Are you going to be misunderstood? Yes. Are other people going to reject you? Yes. Are you going to have times when you just get angry and upset? Yes. But here's what you can do. Every one of us, and it doesn't matter how old you are, we're marching closer to our last day on earth. Don't you want to be able to say, Like Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Don't you want to be able to say when you get ready to lay down the mantle, I've been faithful to the end. I'm in my 20th year and just have finished 20 years. And I think, Father, I never dreamed. But the issue is not that. The issue is faithfulness to the finish for all of us. Amen. And Father, it is a big deal to you if we do or do not use our giftedness. Father, there may be some young people here this morning who don't understand why they just love to get involved in other people's lives and because they're hurting. But Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would etch it into them that they were created by God. They were given birth and they were brought into this world by the hand of God, who created everything. Father, there's some people out there that person who's here who has the gift of mercy, only he can reach or she can reach. But Father, if we're not open, we'll pass by their life today. Maybe they're walking down our road or there's some place we'll meet. But Father, you call us to make that loving difference. And Father, for those here who have some other gift, the gift of teaching, the gift of serving, Father, just remind us we're all gifted. We're gifted differently. Father, I pray for that person that's without Jesus Christ. Father, you said that there's going to be more people in torment in hell than there will be in heaven, because there's some who just don't believe it. Some who just don't believe there's a heaven. Some who don't believe there's a hell. But Father, in reality, they do, because you programmed all of us. And we all know in our being there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to avoid. I pray for that person who's without Jesus Christ. Father, young people are dying every day, all ages of people. And I pray for that person that's without Christ, that they would come this morning is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.